you, whether it's on your tablet or your phone or your physical print Bible, whatever you have, and turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23. We're going to begin there as we did on Thursday night. We're getting to the end of the holidays. We had Rosh Hashanah, we had Yom Kippur, we are in the middle of Sukkot. Next week, or this coming up week, we have Simchat Torah. It's just fast and furious this time of the year, but we're nearing the end. And here we are, though, at our special Shabbat service during Sukkot. And tonight, Thursday night, I talked about the major themes of Sukkot. There's a couple of themes for this holiday. And this is one of the big holidays, one of the Shalosh Regalim, the three pilgrimage holidays historically, where Jewish men would go up to Jerusalem. They would make Aliyah up to Jerusalem and worship the Lord at the temple. And here we are on Sukkot, and I wanted to focus this morning on this idea, and I touched on it on Thursday night, one of the themes of Sukkot, which is God dwelling with you and God dwelling with me, God dwelling with us. When we think about it, God created us in the beginning for worship and fellowship with him, all of his creation, fellowship and worship with him. He's always wanted a relationship with us. Contrary to popular opinion in the world, God is a loving God, and he created us because he loves us and wants to be with us. But unfortunately, things get in the way of that. And that's the story of the world. It's the story of the Bible. What gets in the way of that, in one word, is sin. Sin, our iniquities, make a gap between us and God. But even with all of the problems in the world, even with all of the sins that you and I commit, and again, we talked about it extensively during Yom Kippur, even with all of those things, Sukkot should remind us, this is now a time to be reminded that God dwells with us as we go through our lives. We're going to talk about that. God dwells inside of us through the Ruach HaKodesh, those of us that have Yeshua as our Messiah, and his Holy Spirit, his Ruach, the Ruach HaKodesh living inside of us, dwelling inside of us. And looking prophetically into the future, Sukkot reminds us that God will once again dwell with us, not only inside, but physically. He will dwell in all of the earth, and he will rule and reign in the new heavens and the new earth. So, a lot of great themes encompassed in that whole dwelling theme. So let's turn to Leviticus 23. I want you to go to the section in 23 where we have the holiday of Sukkot, and that begins in verse 33. Leviticus 23, starting in verse 33. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of this seventh month and for 7 days is the Feast of Booths to the Lord, which is another name of Sukkot. Verse 35, on the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. For 7 days you shall present food offerings to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall hold a holy convocation and present a food offering to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall do no ordinary work. Now Sukkot, also called the Feast of Booths, also called the Feast of Tabernacles. You may have heard that name before, Tabernacles. And verse 34, the word is, when it says to dwell in booths, the word is sukkah, in the Hebrew. And it means a booth, as in a temporary structure or a temporary habitation that we have. I mentioned this a little bit on Thursday night, but I'd like to go into it again because we have our sukkah outside, our congregational sukkah. And again, I'm sorry for the people watching on the live stream from wherever you're watching, you can't see it. But those of us here, we can go into the sukkah, we can take a look at our sukkah, we can even go during the week and have a meal in the sukkah. We can spend some time reading our Bibles in the sukkah. But it's supposed to be a flimsy structure. It's supposed to look like it does, which is temporary, flimsy. It's supposed to be built outside. It's supposed to have at least 3 walls. Ours has 4. And one can connect to a house, so you have to have at least 3. And it could be made from any type of material. If you look online or if you follow people on, Facebook or Instagram and they're celebrating this holiday, they'll have all different types of structures. Now, we have one of these prefab, really cool structures, with the green walls. But I've seen a lot of them where they have other different types of materials. And you probably have too. Maybe you have one at home or you've seen them before. any material can be used to construct the sukkah, but the key is you should have an opening in the roof so you can look up and you can see the stars at night and you can know that God is above us. And we decorate it. We decorate it with festive things because this is the fall holiday season. So there is, in our sukkah, because we live in Florida, there's fake fruit. Looks nice. Doesn't go bad with the weather that we have here. But we decorate it with different things, festive things for the occasion. And as I said, you eat meals in it. You fellowship in it. The idea is to dwell together in the sukkah this week. So we have this flimsy structure, and I always like to tell the story. When we lived in Israel many, many years ago, we lived there during the time of Sukkot, went to school there for a time, and when we were there, we got our sukkah together, and it was on the side, you know, it was the three-walled one because it was on the side of our house, and when I tell you it was flimsy. It was almost scary to go sit in it because it was just so rickety and flimsy. You know, we had to get what we could, and it's, I always like to say, when we lived in Israel, this was back before Walmarts. This is back before Walmarts in Israel. This is where you had to go hunting for different things. It was kind of scarce. It was like you go into the grocery store and there's three types of cereal. You know how you go in the grocery store and there's like 50 types of cereal? Imagine like three types of cereal. Anyway, we had to get the materials. We got the materials, but it was a bit flimsy and it lasted, but it barely lasted. Like the last day it was like falling apart. So that's the idea. It's supposed to be a fragile structure. It's supposed to be a temporary structure. And you know what it reminds us of? Life is fragile. Life is temporary. We can't take it for granted. Turn with me to 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, beginning in verse 24. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls. But the word of the Lord remains forever, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. Do you see the dichotomy here between the flimsy, the temporary, the fragile of this life, the fragile of you and I, but the strength of God? So while this holiday should remind us of the frailty of mankind and how we need God so much, it should also remind us how great God is and how strong God is and how we can put our trust in here. But for us, here one day, gone another. Contrast, God is everlasting. He is strong when we're weak. And I believe that there's great comfort in that, not only during Sukkot, but all different times of the year. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 31. Now, the Bible tells us that the children of Israel were going through the wilderness for 40 years. They were outside of their home. They were in a foreign land. They were in a desert land, and they were there for 40 years, not having a home of their own, but God was with them. He was with them all throughout that time in the wilderness. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 31. And in the wilderness, where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you come to this place. Now, there are times in our life, in the frailty of our lives, where God has to carry us, where the structure is about to fall apart, right? And it's almost as if God is like duct taping it, you know, for us. Kind of feels like that in our lives sometimes. God has to sometimes carry us because we can't even walk, we can't even crawl, we don't know which way is up. Just as God was with Israel, supernaturally carrying them and providing for them, the soles of their shoes didn't wear out. They had water coming out of rocks to drink. They had manna and quail coming down from the heavens to feed them supernaturally. I think we all probably have stories about how God has supernaturally taken care of us, even carried us at times in our life. And our point number one in the message this morning is God is with us every day, not just during Sukkot, not just when we're doing all the right things, but, you know, God is with us. And again, at Yom Kippur, we remember that, all the things that we did against God, against people. But God dwells with us in the everyday and every day. There's a commentary that says that even in their exile, because of gross sin, because of idolatry, when they were sent into exile, the saying goes that God was with Israel even in their exile. Psalm 46, verse 11, simply says this, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And the God of Jacob is our structure, our sukkah as well, taking care of us. Now, turn to John chapter 1, verse 14 now. Adonai promises, Hashem promises us more than just he's going to be there when we fall apart. There's even more. It's even greater, his relationship with us. He wants to dwell with us in a personal way. John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Whenever I come to this verse, I think about this, and I think about those last three words, grace and truth, and how Yeshua exemplified, it's a little tangent for a second, Yeshua exemplified being full of grace and full of truth. Many of us sometimes can be really full of truth to the point where we have very little grace for one another. Many of us can be very much full of grace to the point where we let things slide and don't have a lot of truth. Yeshua came as the greatest example for us, full of both truth and grace. And I mean, you could just talk all about that all day long, about his example for us in that. But he came down, the Word took on flesh, the Word took on a temporary structure and came to dwell with us. He came to tabernacle with us or sukkah with us. He became human to connect with us. So he faced and experienced temptations like we do. He dealt with problems, the normal problems that people deal with in life. Problems, issues, hardships, just like we do. He walked among us and dwelled with man. Now turn to John chapter 14. Just go a few chapters ahead to John chapter 14, verse 23, and listen to Yeshua's words. Yeshua answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." That's a personal thing. You and I can have the God of all creation, who created us, who created the heavens and the earth, dwell with us, make his home in us. Amazing stuff. Point number two, God dwells in us through Yeshua, our Messiah. That's a powerful reminder for us during this time of indwelling, during Sukkot. He wants a personal relationship. It's not just enough for him to dwell around us or kind of with us. He wants to dwell inside of us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. Yeshua the Messiah, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, dwell inside of us. Ephesians 2, 22. "In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit," into a sukkah. You and I, and it's not a temporary one, we're being, when God dwells within us, he is with us in a personal way. The living God, the God of Jacob, our fortress, our rock, our redeemer, all of those things, Mashiach, he is with us. There's a strength in that that you and I just don't have because of the frailty of our lives, but the strength of the Lord lies within us. Yeshua the Messiah, the Ruach HaKodesh, we have to realize he dwells within us, helping us, guiding us, if we allow him to. You know, this holiday season, these holiday seasons should remind us just how much God is our King, Rosh Hashanah, how much he has atoned for our sins, Yom Kippur, and how much he dwells with us on Sukkot. Now, last point, there's a prophetic element to the holiday of Sukkot as well. We know that when Yeshua returns, when he comes back to earth, when he sets up his kingdom in Jerusalem, there is going to be a celebration, and he is going to physically dwell with us. During our Sukkot service on Thursday night, I read from Zechariah 14, 16, which talks about how all the nations of the world that have come against Jerusalem, because they'll come against in the end times, you know, they will come and they will celebrate the feast of Sukkot, tabernacles, in Jerusalem. You know, I'm sure not the entire world will come in. Maybe representatives of each of the nations will come. But they will go and pay homage to the Lord. And they will worship the Lord in the millennial kingdom, celebrating Sukkot in Jerusalem. This helps paint this prophetic picture for us about how ultimately God in eternity will dwell with us. The new heavens and the new earth that it talks about. At the very end of the book, at the very end of Revelation, when it talks about these things about God finally coming and habitating forever with you and I. Revelation 21 verses 1, 2, and 3. Then I saw a new, this is John speaking prophetically. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth, the one that we're looking at out there, the one that's frail, the one that's temporary, has passed away, and the sea was no more. Verse 2, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. That is the ultimate Sukkot verse as far as we're concerned from a prophetic standpoint. What a beautiful picture and what a beautiful hope we have. And point number three, our last point in the message this morning, is God will dwell with us forever. He will be here. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more stresses in life. There'll just be eternity with God, where God is ruling and reigning, Yeshua is ruling and reigning, and dwelling with us. We never have to worry about being abandoned, no matter how dark and corrupt this world gets. It just seems like, I mean, maybe it's just me, but it's probably you too. It seems like it gets worse and worse every day. It seems like it gets darker every day. But I know scriptures that say, you know, like Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. It was pretty dark and bad back in ancient times. It was pretty dark and bad, and the flood happened. It was, you know, so perspective, right? But it is bad out there. It is dark out there because of sin. There's been a separation from that habitation together with God. But Sukkot reminds us of this beautiful picture of the age to come, where God will finally choose to dwell with us and we choose to dwell with him, and prophetically we will be with the Lord forever. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you because you are our God and our King. At this time of Sukkot, we remember, Lord, we remember how you dwell with us in the wilderness all those 40 years when we didn't know which way to go. You had the fire by night, and you were just guiding us throughout, the cloud by day. And Lord, now you guide us through your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, helping us, maybe educating us, Lord God, maybe convicting us about certain things. And in this time in Sukkot, we remember your love for us, that you do care about us, that you love us enough to die for us, that you love us enough to dwell with us. And as we sit in our sukkah this week, as we ponder these things this week, help us to remember how much you love us and that one day you will dwell with us prophetically forever and ever. We look forward to that day, and we thank you, God, in Yeshua's name. Amen.